Chapter 4. Once inside it, the inner gulf stretched out around them. The gas clouds pulled back so far that it looked almost as if the fleet were back in the open void. Course correction orders were given again, cascading down command levels, spilling out from the centre and into the bridge of every frigate and gunship carrier. Exhausted navigation crews responded again, dragging more power from their overstretched engines, keying in murderously tight response times and pulling back into new defence patterns. There was no time to enact a proper defence. Russ roared out his orders, drawing up his forces in the best approximation of a holding formation. The four remaining capital ships in the centre, underpinned by the cover of their surviving strike cruisers. Two rapid reaction forces, each six destroyers strong, drew up on the flanks, primed to streak forwards on command with the aim of breaking enemy clusters as they formed up. A long miscellany of less capable ships, mostly missile boats and corvettes, hung back as a reserve, bolstered by the captured Alpha Legion craft. Together with the remnants of the frigate squadrons, all of which were deployed either at the Zenith or Nadir to prevent outflanking, the 6th Legion prepared itself for the coming impact. It hit them just as the final ships were sliding into position. The Alpha Legion had not fallen far behind, despite Lord Gunn's holding manoeuvre at the intersection. Two wings of Hydra-marked frigates powered into the gulf, lances already firing. They were followed by more frigates, then strike cruisers, battle cruisers, and finally the heavy battleships, 6 of them, clustered around the Gloriana-class Alpha, a monster in sapphire and gold, impregnable amid its tight web of interlocking support craft. The assault was fast, hard, and overwhelming. With no physical constraints on any axis, the Alpha Legion scattered wide, unravelling into a classic encirclement manoeuvre. Gunships streamed from open hangar bays, whole swarms tumbling as they dropped into attack vectors. Forward lances opened up, sending spears of ship-killing energy crunching into void shield arrays. In seconds, the two fleets had hit full engagement, tangling into one another, rotating and coalescing. The major battleships became islands of stability around which riots of destruction radiated. Squadrons of attack craft were immolated by single broadsides, their blasted shells smashing into bigger hulls at full speed and scattering debris along the baroque flanks of their killers. Every vessel operated at full capacity, hollowing out their last reserves of shells and torpedoes, filling the vacuum with a maelstrom of spiralling wreckage. The Harafnical dominated the centre of the Wolves' line, wreathed in a steady corona of suppressing lasfire and flanked by its hard-pressed strike cruiser wings. Unlike the other battleships, which held steady at their allotted sectors, it thundered up through the heart of the battlesphere, smashing aside any minnows too slow or too clumsy to get out of its path. On the flagship's bridge, every Space Marine had helmed up and drawn weapons. Over 100 of the rout's warriors were assembled there, spread among its many levels and terraces. Every mortal crew member had donned a rebreather and strapped on carapace armour, dull grey under the low-level combat lighting.
"That is the target," breathed Russ,
watching as the Harafnical cut its way towards the looming Alpha. The enemy flagship wallowed in an expanding ring of smouldering ship shells. Already it had accounted for 2 attack frigates, their hearts ripped out by the volume of lance fire before they had been able to respond.
"This time he will face me."
All those assembled on the bridge knew the risks, saw the danger, and approved. They had tried to avoid a pitched engagement for as long as possible, knowing they could never win it. But since one had been forced upon them, the only option was to go for the throat, to tear out the neck of the enemy legion's master. Alpharius had so far not shown himself, even in sham, but Russ had always been convinced his brother was somewhere in the enemy ranks, marshalling the campaign from the safety of his hidden throne. The flagships powered closer to one another, smashing aside the waves of lesser craft that piled in to slow them, their void shields cascading in whirls of colour as incoming fire slammed into the hull lines. Harafnakel's bridge trembled as each of its guns fired in rotation, cycling madly through the last of the ammunition reserves. The ship was tearing its own innards out, spewing them up and spitting them in raw defiance at the horde of enemies that circled, stabbed, and goaded it.
seen enough yet?
Asked Russ sardonically, turning to the Dark Angel who still stood beside him.
Or did you only come here to watch us die?
Ormond now held his stance unaided, but was clearly still in no condition to fight. I have no power to save you, if that is what you believe, he said.
Then your presence here is a mystery to me.
I only observe. Russ turned on him, massive in his full battle plate, his fanged face hidden behind a wolf-snarled death mask.
Then observe this, he snarled. Observe the way of death for the wolves of Fenris. The serpent will fight his way to me now, as he smells weakness at last, but still he does not see the danger. We have nowhere left to go. They have run us down, and all we have is the corner.
As the Primarch spoke, the Alpha swam up towards them in the forward viewers. The flagship's huge bridge oculus, its facets cracked, showed the immensity of their opposite number, towering ahead and above them, holding station like a raptor in the high airs, secure and inviolable. Its weapon banks had already opened up, hurling waves of projectile fire at the Hrafnikal's flame-backed hide, making the void shield coverage flex and spit.
Flee it! Roared Russ,
knowing that all power had already been fed to the forward weapons array. Hrafnikal's lance punched out, sending a lone beam cracking into the Alpha's prow. The strike was good, smashing across the thick hull armour and diving deep within, but it did nothing to halt the battleship's trajectory. When the return strike came, it was withering. Every one of the Alpha's undamaged batteries opened up in unison, flooding local space with flame and making the viewers go white. So many strikes hit their mark that Hrafnikal's hull sensors overloaded and screamed nonsense readings to the station operators. The entire ship keeled over, thrown out of its barreling run by the massed impact. The bridge shook, rocked by cracks that shot up from the deck to the dome, swayed by explosions that surged out of every fractured power line and energy conduit.
Steady course!
Bellowed Russ, still on his feet, his great frostblade in hand, raging at the ruin around him.
Return fire!
As the words left his mouth, there was a secondary explosion from several decks down, one that made the plasteel beams under them swell. The four void shields gave out in a scream of static, exposing the deeper black of the unbarred void. A second later, in a move that had clearly been planned, the eye-watering sting of teleport energies filled the bridge, followed by the hard bang of air displacement. 100 warp spheres burst into being, clustered around the far end of the bridge chamber. Each one exploded in a shiver of hoarfrost, revealing a Terminator-armored warrior within. The entire bridge exploded with bolt rounds as both sides opened up with all the weapons they possessed. The Terminators were immediately deluged in shells, launched from every Karl, every Adept, every Wolf. The invaders fought back with murderous efficiency, striding through the storm of bolts and bullets, letting their heavy armor absorb the punishment before doling out more of their own.
To me, Vilka Fenrika!
Russ thundered, charging down from the dais, his voice ringing with black fury.
Slay swift!
Bjorn was already running, weaving through the hurricane of shells to get to the enemy. There were thousands of armed mortals on the bridge, and almost 100 wolves, but the Terminator-clad adversaries more than had their match. They had come to sever the wolf's neck, to cut off the head and let the body wither. Bjorn vaulted over a disintegrating comms pillar, ducking down into the servitor pit below as return fire whistled back at him. Then he was up again, firing from his own bolter while his lightning claw blazed from its disruptor field. He closed in on the first enemy, a monster in scaled tactical dreadnought plate, laying down a bow wave of autocannon fire that was pulverizing everything in its path. Bjorn got a volley of bolts away. They clanged into the enemy's gorget and made him reel. Bjorn pounced after him, slicing with his claw to rip out the enemy's stomach. The Terminator matched the blow, lashing his power fist around and slamming Bjorn bodily out of his path. Then he turned the cannon on him, coolly aiming at his helm to finish the uneven contest. But the barrels never spoke. The Terminator was ripped from his feet in an explosion of silver and flung 5 meters back, crashing along the deck with a squeal of gouged metal. Bjorn looked up, Kvar had unleashed the storm, and tongues of ice-bright lightning snapped and seethed from the deck to the cracked roof, impaling terminators on twisting columns of glassy ether matter and blowing them apart from their core. Armor fragments, spotted with boiled blood, joined the clouds of metal shards spinning through the air. The volume of raw noise became earth-shattering, echoing from every shell-pocked wall and rebounding across the battlefield. But the wrath of the rune priest was nothing compared to that of his Primarch. Russ barreled into the wall of Terminators like a breaking avalanche, shrugging off the torrent of shells zeroing in on him and driving into the enemy head-on. Those in his path were smashed aside, their armoured bulk cracked and bludgeoned by the starblaze arcs of Mjallnar. Russ wielded the Frostblade two-handed, swinging it like a warhammer, severing neck joints and slicing clean through battleplate. He was soon surrounded by an orbital welter of blood and electrostatic, flying in slicks around him as he opened his throat and roared out his wrath.
"Ferris!"
he bellowed, summoning all the wrath of the Ice World's soul.
"For the Ice World!"
Russ had not fought with that freedom in a long time. The kinetic force of his charge drove the Alpha Legionnaires back towards their teleportation loci, fighting furiously just to avoid annihilation on the edge of the Frostblade. Bjorn had seen enemies dissolve entirely in the face of his Primarch's charge. He had seen Xenos turn tail and flee, and even Legiones Astartes formations buckle when faced with the psychic shock of the unleashed Wolf King. The Alpha Legion, though, held firm, falling back in steady ranks, fighting hard, still trying to bring him down. With a sudden lurch, Bjorn realized the truth of what Russ had said. His brother must be among the Terminators, fighting with them, holding them together. His presence was almost palpable, bleeding through the tumult like hunt spore. Bjorn raced back into combat, hunting now for the slightest sign of difference. A taller enemy, a faster one, one immune to the worst of Kvar's stormfire. His heart spiked with exhilaration. There were two Primarchs on the bridge, and the prospect of bringing retribution to the author of all their pain spurred him into even greater feats of combat. Bjorn charged at the Terminator downed by Kvar's warp lightning, who was already clambering to his feet and aiming the autocannon again. Three of Bjorn's battle brothers came with him, running hard, firing from the waist even as they activated their close combat blades. They leapt as one, a blur of grey amid the fractured whir of the battle, and landed as one, hacking and tearing like a pack of wolves on the neck of its prey. Bjorn had come down on the Terminator's neck, plunging his claw between helm and gorget. The second wolf took out the autocannon with a glittering power axe. Another checked the Terminator's swinging power fist with a storm shield, while the fourth chopped its feet from under it. Acting in close concert, they dragged it back to the deck, their movements a whirl of blades. Bjorn ended the contest, jabbing his claw in deeper, breaking the seal and being rewarded with a jet of blood seething up the length of his jammed talon. As he had done so often, he ripped his blades free, dragging strips of flesh with them and flinging them away. He threw his head back, let his lungs unlock and roared out his battle fury. The warriors around him did the same, filling the bridge with the massed howl of the rout unleashed. But there was no time to bask in the kill, for the enemy was still a threat. Two-thirds of its strength was intact and clustering around Russ, concentrating all their energies on bringing him down. Bjorn burst clear, head low, firing into the mass of Terminators ahead.
"You are here," he mouthed, and picked his target.
As the space around him dissolved into frenzied combat, Ormond staggered back behind the throne dais, his presence forgotten. The rune priest, who had dragged him before the Primarch, strode off into battle, his skull-topped staff crackling with eye-burning lightning spears. Every wolf on the bridge was now fighting, charging into the heart of it, heedless of the damage being meted out by the massed Terminator assault. The columns above him cracked, spraying him with splintered stone. Combat lumens flickered and faltered as their chambers were shattered. The flagship was listing badly, its course faltering as decisive command was wrenched away from it. The Alpha was still visible in the forward oculus, still pouring on waves of lasfire despite the presence of its own warriors aboard. 100 battles were taking place across other bridges and within the hulls of other compromised starships, each led by squads of space wolves or alpha legionnaires, each utterly committed to the kills that were now coming freely. Ormond staggered, feeling blood slosh in his armour. They had taken his bolter from him, and he felt useless and weak. He fell to his knees, dragging breath heavily through his bloodied mouth. Looking out across the raging battle made him nauseous. The fatality rate was already crippling. Whichever legion emerged as the victor would carry horrific casualties, and for a cause that even now made little sense to him. His Calibanite brothers understood the war only in rough outline, derived through snatches of garbled astropathic messaging and a few captured vessels running ahead of the gathering storm. Withdrawal into the depths of Alaxis had exacerbated the isolation, something that could never have lasted forever, even if events had not forced their hand. As it was, they had been dragged into the light prematurely, their long vigil disturbed by the afterglow of a far greater conflict. With no guidance and no way of getting any, they had done what they could to establish the truth. Ormond sank to his knees, bracing against the base of the pillar beside him. Russ was still at the heart of it, still breaking his enemies apart, a mountain amid the swirl of lesser warriors. Seeing a Primarch fight made him keenly aware that he had never seen his own, and had no knowledge what it must be to follow one of the 18 into battle. Perhaps that was what had made his people as cautious as they had been. The heritage of Caliban should have bred more fortitude. Selecting the enemy had never been difficult under the shadowed eaves of the Eternal Woods. Seeing the two legions grapple with one another, knowing what he knew now, he began to see the shape of it all unravel. The tangle of interlocking claims came apart, revealing a certainty beneath, one that he had been grasping at ever since reading the combat logs. When the impulse unit at his wrist lit up, he almost missed it. He shuffled down further, edging into the shadow of the pillar and lifting his gauntlet to his mouth.
"Where then?" he asked.
"Close," came the crackling voice from the unit.
"We thought they had killed you. We are glad to be wrong. Do you have anything else?"
"You surely have what you need."
"Just one word."
Ormond looked up, casting his pain-filled gaze across the scene of carnage. The wolves were fighting hard, but their end was now snapping at their heels. The Primarch would be downed eventually, his claws bloody, and then the battle would be over. With the Hrafnikel gone, the fleet would follow. Having seen them in all their defiant glory, he found he could no longer be impartial.
"Loyal,"
he said, wondering, as the word left his lips, whether that was any longer something to celebrate.
"There can be no doubt."
Russ hacked his way through the enemy, barely seeing those whom he slew. They were a blur, a mass of armour and muscle, inert fodder for his blade. He'd already sensed the true enemy, and besides that presence, nothing else mattered. He ignored the wounds he took and the losses of his pack around him. He just kept moving, grinding through the walls of sapphire and gold. He had never hated Alpharius, not like Gilliman had hated him. The Alpha Legion had been an irrelevance, an afterthought, a gang of shadow huggers at the beck and call of Horus, who were worthy of nothing more than faint scorn. At least Magnus had been a proper enemy, out in the open, getting his hands thick with sorcery where it could be seen. Alpharius had been nothing. A whisper, a suspicion, an echo. That was no longer the case. Russ's loathing burned white, a seam of diamond in his soul. There was no victory in this fight any longer, just a chance for vengeance under the gaze of the Hrafnikel's graven images.
"You are a sword in the wrong hands, my brother."
They had been empty words when they were spoken, and now they were even less than that. Deception or no, Magnus had deserved his fate, and if they were all damned now, then at least there was penance in eliminating another traitor before the end.
"Face me, brother!"
he roared, his mighty voice rising above the thunder of battle. He crunched aside one Alpha Legionnaire with his gauntlets before eviscerating a second, never resting, his entire body transmuted into a machine of battle fury.
"My ships are burning! My sons are dying! What can you fear now?"
And then, before him, the battlefield suddenly opened up. The surviving wolves pushed the gap wider, grappling with foes that outmatched them, but somehow forcing a chasm between the ranks. At the far end of the opening, standing alone, was a legionnaire in Terminator plate, arrayed just as all the others were. There were no unique sigils on his armor, no deference from his brothers around him. But Russ knew. He lowered Mjolnir towards the Alpha Legionnaire's neck.
I mark you,
thundered Ross, breaking into the charge that would carry him close. The Terminator braced, accepting the challenge, saying nothing but readying a long blade that spat with an emerald energy field. Before either of them could strike, though, the viewports above suddenly blazed with light. The deck rocked more violently than before, buoyed by a shock more profound and more violent than any starship could generate. Harafnakel's bridge quaked, harrowed to its core, and combatants were thrown from their feet. Even Russ was driven to his knees as the deck seesawed around them. Mortals were crying out now, not from battle lust or pain, but from shock. The remaining view screens filled with new signals, bursting with runes that spilled from repeater stations and overlaid the already congested battlesphere. Russ steadied himself, peering up at the real view portals to get some idea, any idea of what had happened. For a terrible moment, everything went dark, as if the void beyond had wrapped itself around them to choke the last life out. Then the shadow cleared, replaced by rows upon rows of glittering lights, each one lodged amid a plunging rock face of astonishing size. Turrets sailed past, colossal towers, bridges and parapets, each one crusted with ranks of ship-killing weaponry. Engine thrusters, bigger than whole destroyers, glowed hot red, bleeding out into the void like shackled suns. From under the shadow came more warships, each one as dark as night, unmarked by battle but with their weapons primed and ready. Dominus-class warships headed up a whole flotilla in assault formation, dropship bays open and gunwales unsheathed. The Colossus was a star fort, a Ramillies-class world-ender, one of the great anchor engines of the Imperial arsenal. Even alone, such a monster would have been capable of taking on the two battle-ravaged fleets that now lay under its vast shadow. But with its escort flotilla in tow, the shape of the encounter had altered entirely.
"Come about!"
Rush shouted, seeing the Starfort's guns angle towards them.
"Pull clear! Pull clear!"
His cries were given no time to have an effect, even if the navigation crews had been able to enact them. The ships were too close and too damaged to respond. But the Starfort was not aiming at the Hrafnical. Its immense beam weapons opened up, sending starblaze shafts leaping across the void. The Alpha was hit hard, its shields deluged with a tide of spilled plasma, and it slewed wildly away from the impact. Other Alpha Legion ships were also hit, cracking apart from the impact shockwaves, their engines exploding as more lance hits burst clean through them. In the wake of the ranged assault, black-armored attack craft screamed through the gaps, racing past the hulls of the engaged battleships and strafing them. Their larger battleship counterparts moved into firing positions, swinging around to expose long macro-cannon-filled flanks. The Alpha Legion ships, having been in the ascendant for so long, were suddenly overwhelmed by wave after wave of attacks. The remaining wolves hit back where they could, responding instantly to take advantage of the sudden reversal of fortune. All across the battlesphere, boarding parties were hastily recalled and attack runs pulled back to bolster faltering lines. Everything swayed on a fulcrum, teetering wildly until the new shape of battle could be determined. Russ pulled himself to his feet, searching for his opposite number amid the confusion. Teleport bubbles were snapping open again, pulling Alpha Legion Terminators back to their own flagship before it was ripped apart by incoming fire. The lone Terminator facing Russ activated his locus, and Aetherfrost raced up his armor shell. He deactivated his weapon and inclined his helm in what might have been acknowledgement or mockery, or maybe just regret that they had not locked blades. Russ watched him go, still too far away to intervene. All around him, his surviving warriors got back to their feet and reached for their weapons, hunting down any Alpha Legionnaires whose teleport loci had failed, or limping back to the command stations to oversee the Hrafnakal's retreat from the fury of the war zone.
As Russ looked up at the oculus above him, his whole body still burning with hyperadrenaline, he saw the star fort rise higher, gaining altitude over the battle plane in order to give it a steeper fire angle. The sheer size of it was incredible. Even after serving alongside full Imperial expeditionary fleets, some of which had contained war engines of a similar class, such a creation could still impress him with its flamboyantly outsized majesty. Russ saw Bjorn limping over to him, his armor marked with bolter impacts. Bjorn twisted his helm off, exposing a bloodied mane of dark hair.
"There is your answer," he said. "To what?"
Bjorn nodded towards the real viewers, still dominated by the underside of the colossal star fort as it ground its way after the imploding Alpha Legion vanguard.
"The serpent. The many-headed beast."
For a moment, Russ did not see what he meant. Then, as the vast armor plates slid past, he caught sight of the star fort's emblem, a lone sigil, mounted within a ring of gold, embedded at the very heart of its armored underbelly. Perhaps the name had come from Terran lore, or maybe it harked back to one of the many warped beasts of Caliban. In any case, the image was unmistakable. An amalgam of lion, dragon, and snake, rearing on clawed hind legs, surrounded by gold runes arranged in twisting, branch-like patterns.
"Chimera," said Russ, reading the massive ident plate.
"The runes read aright."
The star fort passed overhead, driving the Alpha Legion vessels away from Harafnakel's local space. Russ felt a hollowness, the aftermath of a fight he had been destined to lose. He had never been saved before, pulled away from defeat by the actions of another legion. Something of Lord Gunn's old intransigence flared up within him then, the pride of the rout, pricked by its failure.
"We were the guardians once. We were the watchers over all the others."
Now they were just one of 18 legions, humbled by the 20th legion, and rescued by the first. There was a kind of symmetry in that, though one that made his stomach turn.
"What are your orders, Lord?"
asked Bjorn. Russ snapped out of his introspection. The void was still alight with ordnance, and the battle was not yet won.
"All survivors rally to Harafnakel,"
said Russ, sheathing Mjolnir and striding back to the command throne.
"We must see what we have left."
He paused then, looking at the devastation around him, the blood on the decks, the ruins of what had once been the centre of his undefeated war fleet. It would take months to restore, if such a thing were even possible. But that paled beside the greater grief, the one that could never be expunged. They had lost.
"I recognise my failing," Russ said, speaking to himself, unheard by the others. "Be assured. I recognize it at last."